Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We'll start a reading in verse 18. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Thank you for being here. Revelation chapter 2, beginning of verse 18. We're going to start with a letter to the church of Thyatira. Unto the church in Thyatira write, unto the angel. Who is the angel? The preacher, that's right, the pastor. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put on you none other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As a vessel of potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father in heaven, I pray you to speak to our hearts now, Lord, as we look into the Word of God. May it be a blessing and help and encouragement to each one of us. Lord, help us to walk close to you. Help us to realize the great responsibility is around us, and the great responsibility that you have given us to be more like you. Help us to have the mind of Christ tonight. Lord, I pray you, you're just blessed now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. These things saith the Son of God, verse 18, if man had said these things, he would certainly have been criticized. So God reminded us that he said these things. I'm reminded of when my boys were growing up and a couple of the guys were doing something and knew that it wasn't just right. Well, one of my boys would say, hey, you better not do that. You're going to get in trouble. After a while, one of them come in the house and say, Dad, so they're doing this. And I said, you go tell them that Dad said. Funniest thing, they stopped it. Same way with the Word of God. You know, you can say all you want, but when God Almighty says, hey, that's enough, you better be listening to God. Amen. That's why we encourage you. Maybe even say push you to read the Word of God, that you'd study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. It is our responsibility to do what God says. A preacher, he gets up, he's the angel of the church. The Bible says God tells him what to do. God encourages him to live right and to teach people to live right. But we have no force behind us unless we say, thus saith the Lord God. When I started pastoring, I was 22 years old. I was awful young. I went behind my ear. And I'd get up and I'd wax eloquently. If you looked at my sermons back then, it looked like cat meat and dog fodder. But anyway, I'm amazed. I still have some of them sermons, and I wonder, wow, how in the world they ever kept me, amen. But I was preaching, and my father-in-law heard me preach, and he took me aside. Now, you got to remember, he's my mentor. I was his youth pastor for a year and a half before I went and took the church, and he very kindly said to me, he says, you know, most people don't care what you think. He says, what you should be saying is, thus saith the Lord God. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I think this, or they make a supposition. They say, well, I suppose it ought to be. But I'll tell you what, that doesn't hold too much water until you say, thus saith the Lord God. This is what the Word of God says. You remember a couple of weeks ago I preached on standards, and I preached on pertinent everything there was in the Bible, amen, that two Sundays ago. You need to get that CD. I'm going to get Bree to run off a bunch. But, you know, you notice that I use scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Thus saith the Lord God. This is what the Bible says. This is how we ought to live. This is how we ought to walk. This is how what we ought to do. This is why we're supposed to be faithful. This is what the Word of God says. It really doesn't make a difference what we say. It's what God says. It's what God says. So the Bible, if a man said these things, he could certainly be criticized. So God reminds us that these are the things said by God. Bible preaching is hard preaching. When we preach the truth of Jesus, we must say something hard. Sometimes we have to say hard things, and just we must always say them in tenderness and spirit of love, just as a parent finds a necessity to punish their children. But he still wants you to say, hey, this is what the Bible says. When I disciplined my three boys, I'd be very careful that I disciplined them the Bible way. I would have a scripture verse. I'd tell my boys if they were doing something wrong, they're fussing or doing something, I'd say, go to your room. While they went to the room, I grabbed my Bible and I found a Bible verse that I wanted to show them what the Bible said so they knew it was wrong, because thus saith the Lord God. I never discipline my children just for my own good. I discipline my children for their good. I love them very much. I can't imagine a guy that owns a $10,000 hunting dog that would hurt him. They train them and spend a lot of money training these dogs. Very careful. Well, let me tell you something. My child is a lot more precious than a stinking dog. And I wanted to make sure I did not hurt them. Or maim them, or break their will. I want my boys to have will. I want them to stand up. I want them to, you know, make some decisions in their lives. Started when they're just little. I'd tell them, take the money up to the cashier and make it. They were kind of timid about it for a while, but I just told them there, and I said, if they don't give you any change back, hold your hand out, amen. And if they don't, you can't get their attention. Go. Hold it up high. I don't know anybody running a restaurant doesn't want money, amen. Probably one of the hardest places to keep going, amen. So just as a parent, we find it necessary to punish our children. God feels it very necessary to punish us to get us back into step, get us back into serving Him. Secondly, who hath His eyes like the flame of fire. His feet like fine brass. Brass is a symbol of justice and judgment. God may be reminding the church of Thyatira that certain judgment is going to come because of sin. And by the way, it still is that way today. God still judges His church. God still judges His people. God still judges His children. He wants them to live God. I prayed, I think I was telling Pastor Commander the other day, I said, you know, Brother Commander, I said, I am praying that God helps me to finish strong. I don't want to just peter out. I just want to just go off on something. I want to stay strong in the Word of God. I want to keep serving God in every way I can. I have a desire to serve God, and as long as God gives me the desire, I want to stay right. I want to be like a bulldog, just get a hold of something, just count down it, and not let go of it. Amen. I want to do right. I want to serve God right. I want to take the Word of God and say, "Thus saith the Lord God," and feed the flock of God that God has given me. He says, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience. Notice all these good things that God said about this church. They're positive things. Man, look at what you people are doing. Man, your work and your charity and your service and your faith and your patience. They stood for some things, but do not stand against some things. That's their problem. Here was a church that did many good things, but they did not take a strong stand against evil. Our gospel is both positive and negative. And you will also notice that the church was rich in social service. God did not command us. God did not commend them for their soul winning. He commended them for their social service. That's good. But social service is not the main service of the New Testament church. It's good that we build hospitals and schools and feed the poor, and that's all good. But there are secondary measures in the church. I remember Dr. Hiles one time when he came to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. He said, I couldn't find anybody to go soul winning. And he said, I preached on it. And he said, one Wednesday night, they did their Sunday school. They taught the Sunday school to all the Sunday school teachers, and then they'd have a meal. Then they go into church. And Pastor Hiles said, folks, I said, I think you're more worried about what you eat than you tell others about Jesus Christ. And he said, I had an old lady come up to me, and she had a great big old spoon in her hand with gators dripping down off. She said, I've cooked for this church for 20 years, and you're telling me that's not important. He said, that's not what I'm saying. Yes, it is. You know, people will never get it, amen. But the most important thing of our Heritage Baptist Church is do what? Soul win. Tell people about Jesus Christ. That's why we run old buses on Sunday. That's why we try to, amen. That's why we go out and tell people about Christ. Yesterday I had the privilege of leading a friend of mine to the Lord up in my office. What a blessing it was. You know, and he said, man, I should have done that a long time ago. And, you know, they're out there. You got to find them. They're out there. Use every opportunity. People at gas stations, I know you don't want to take. If people are busy, of course, that's why you carry a track. Whip out a track at them. But some of these stores, some of these gas stations, I know my gas station, I've let a couple of the people at the service station over there at Sinclair come in there at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, nobody's around. I talk to them about Jesus, amen. That's our responsibility. Amen. That's our responsibility. Not baking the baked potatoes. Not cooking the corn. Not feeding the poor. It's telling people about Jesus Christ. If we spend as much time going soul winning as we do social service, that would certainly please God greatly. And then he says, and thy works, the last, be more than the first. Verse 19, note that it was a growing church. Its last works were more than the first. Growth is not the only sign of a good church. In fact, sometimes it's not a good sign. But it's good to see people coming to Christ and people coming into the church and serving God. Big reports and added membership are good, but they're not a sign of the real New Testament church. Then he said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffereth that woman Jezebel. Verse 20. Notice the word suffereth. That word suffereth in the Greek means to allow. We'll just suffer it. You know, we'll allow. We'll allow. To allow. The church had allowed sin to creep in. It did not judge it. It did not condemn it. It tolerated it. A person could live like he wanted to, and just like most churches today. You can do whatever feels good, amen, do it, and never have to face your sin head on. Hey, I didn't answer to nobody. I live in the age of grace. Where'd you find that? You ain't going to let your kids live like that at home? Well, maybe you will. But you shouldn't let your kids live like that. And at the church house has some rules. We have a constitution in our church. A lot of things in the church people don't even know. You're not supposed to use tobacco. You're not supposed to drugs. You're not supposed to do tattoos and all that kind of junk. It's all in there. If you don't have one, I'd be more than happy to give one. I just gave one out last night. Notice the woman, Jezebel. This was the wife of wicked Ahab. You remember her? She dominated her husband for over 38 years. By the way, I've used this many times. God gave her mercy for 38 years to repent. Until Jehu drove up his chariot to the house, to the temple, to the palace, and he says, "Throw her down." The Bible said they threw her down. She's in there painting her face. That's what the Bible said. Isn't that interesting? She's painting her face. Amen. Nothing wrong with painting your face. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. says, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Amen. But threw her out, fell down, he drove right over with his chariot. Amen. Then they're sitting there eating, I don't know, turkey or something. And says, you know, it's not good. That's a king's daughter, king's wife. We ought to pick her up. Went out there and they only found a few things. Found her two wicked hands and two wicked feet in her head. Everything else the dogs ate up. Obviously, Jesus was calling some woman at the church of Jezebel. Note the things about Jezebel. She was worldly. She was out of her place. She worshipped idols. And so we're figuring that probably this woman tried to run the church. She was out of her place, led the church when she should have been taking the place as a woman, which the Bible says to follow. Some believe that she was a pastor's wife. Ouch! Women preachers, bossy women. Hey, there's a great old book by John Rice. It's called Women Preachers, Bossy Women, and Short Hair. It's a pretty good. That's written back in the 50s. Pretty good book. It's written according to scriptures. And by the way, the Bible says she was an abomination. Then the Bible says that what she did, she taught to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. Seduce means to be misled. She shouldn't have been allowed to teach the church. The church was just too sweet to make the devil mad. And boy, I'll tell you what, you're going to be in real big trouble if you don't take a stand. Church is going to be real big trouble if the church doesn't take a stand. I remember my pastors back in Hope Baptist Church, the stands that they took, and they paid for it. Well, my pastor back in the 62, 63, 64, there was a couple people in our church was bringing in a new version of the Bible. And my pastor, Roman, I mean, he stood like a rock. He said, "We're not going to have that here." I remember the guy sat about 3 rows back, and he seemed like he's always trying to, you know. And he brought that new version in, and my pastor was brilliant in the Greek, and he says, "No, that's not a Bible. That's not good. That's a devotional. That's not a Bible." And my preacher, he took it. I mean, boy, I'll tell you what, those people, some of my members of my family were really mean at him. But he stood there. He said, "No, we ain't going to go that way." I remember my pastor Fick who came in, and that was in 66. He came in after Pastor Vroman left. And boy, they came in with the Billy Graham thing and the T-73 and all that kind of stuff. And you guys don't even understand that stuff. But it was pretty rough. And music. He just says, "We're not going that way in music." And he just put his foot down. And but I'll tell you what, thank God for that, amen. Taught me some good lessons, amen. It taught me that, you know, no matter what, we're going to stand to the Word of God. I I was at a conference one time, and they said, well, it really doesn't make a difference what Bible you use. And I said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean it doesn't make a difference what Bible you use? I'm going to use the old authorized version, King James Version, because it's got all, the Bible says all words. All words. And the Bible said, if you take any words out of it, I will curse you with the curse of Egypt. I don't know about you, but I don't want that on my hind. I don't want that on my hide. I don't want that. No, I want to stand for God. You ought to want to stand for God. Hello? Thank you. Look at it. It says, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This was the eating of the lambs, etc. They had been offered and sacrificed to the idols of those in Thyatira. It was not wrong in itself, but it was doubtful when somebody had got saved out of idolatry, and you'd have them over, and you'd say, by the way, we have this. I bought this down at the idol market. Well, down at the idol market, they would sacrifice these animals and pray to them for their idol. Well, guess what that did to the emotions or the conviction of that person in the church that just been saved out of it? Is it good or bad? It's bad. You don't do that. One time I had a friend of mine that I led him to the Lord, led his wife to the Lord, and three boys to the Lord one night. I was up soul winning. What a wonderful thing. Man, that is good night back in 1972, 73. And he said, I want to take you out to eat. He was a truck driver. He taught me how to drive a semi. And we became pretty close. His mother and father-in-law were very good members of our church. And his grandmother was a wonderful member of our church. And these people, I went to see them, and I led them to the Lord. And they were starting to come around about six to eight, 10 months. They were in our church, and they said, we want to take you out to dinner. We went out to dinner. Real nice place in Mankato, Minnesota. And they ordered shrimp, and I'm just happy about that, amen. And they ordered twice baked potatoes, and then he ordered onion rings, he just put it on, all right. And I ate onion ring. Man, it's a good onion ring. It tastes really good, you know. And he said, you know what those are made out of, preacher? He said, no. He said, those are beer batter. And I just about spit it out of my mouth. And I said to him, I said, why did you do that? Oh, he said, I want to know how you react. I'll tell you how I like to react. Spoil my meal. Because I am so against, I have seen what happens to families that drink. I've seen what the alcohol family does to the families. And it breaks my heart. I mean, I hate it. I just despise it. And when he said that to me, it really angered me. And I said, Dale, I said, why did you do that? Oh, I said, I just want to know what you do. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, I'm really disappointed. I said, I don't believe in that. I'm not for that. He said, but preacher, the alcohol burns out of it. I said, let me tell you something. I won't order anything that's got wine in it. Oh, some people are, oh, we got to have wine in it. Oh, no, you don't. And I'll tell you what, I can beat you on deep fried fish any day without beer or onion rings. That's right, Marcia. Amen. So churches need to be taught to abstain from doubtful things. Things come in, I'm not sure about it. Hey, best thing to do, don't do it. The Bible says if you do things that are not in faith, it's like sin. Well, I'm not sure about that. Well, let's try. Well, I don't know about that. Well, then don't do it. Don't do it. Just walk away. Life is going to be okay, amen, if you don't do something like that, amen. So Scripture teaches us, it teaches the church, abstain from all appearances. I love that apple cider that they put in a bottle that looks like champagne or whatever they call it. It says non-alcoholic on it, but you pull it out, do you know? I want to be a good testimony. I want to be a good testimony. And we need to be very careful about that stuff. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Number 8, verse 21, And I gave her space to repent for her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. 21 and 22. The rapture will not even affect a church like this unless they repent. Marcia. Shh, shh, shh. The rapture is not going to affect the church. This church is going to keep on going. Because they're not saved. They haven't repented. God's Word said that we ask Christ to forgive our sins, repent of our sins, and ask, and believe that He died on the cross, rose on the third day. These people, He said, unless they repent, it'll be left here during the great tribulation. And this is to come on earth after the true saints have gone to meet Jesus in the air. Tribulation will last 7 years and will be a period of terrible wars and events. Thank God. I'll be with Jesus. I've read this book, and I will tell you something. I don't want to part any part of that tribulation at all. It's pretty. I was talking to a lady the other day, and I said, she said, well, tell me what your church is doing. I said, well, I'm teaching Revelation. Oh, I'm scared of that. I said, why should you be scared of that? We're going to be gone. Oh, no, but when I was a teenager, it scared me to death. I said, did you trust Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Well, and then she gave me this blah, 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 you know. I'm not scared of what's in Revelation. Hey, we're going to go through it. Hey, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God said, I love you. I'll keep you to my own. Now, there's going to be troubles. Yes, there's going to be sorrows. Yes, it's been that way ever since the world started. After Adam and Eve sinned. Sin passed upon all men, all have sinned. So I'm so scared of Revelation. I said, why? Well, there's some things in there. I said, well, from chapter 4 and verse 1 on, the church is never mentioned again. We're not here. We're gone. The trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and we shall be caught up. Number 9. He said, I will kill her children with death, and all the church shall know that I am He which searches the reins and the heart, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Verse 23. In this verse, Jesus reminds that He is going to judge every church. He must stand the test before the judgment of God, so we need to watch our church that we stay pure. Amen? It's all our job. This is our church. Let us keep the program simple. Preaching, praying, teaching the Word of God. Let's keep it simple. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none of the other burden, but that which he hath already hold fast till I come. Jesus tells the rest of them, hey, believers, hey, you know what? You're going to come out of here, and it's going to be okay. Hold fast till I come. These days are going to be darkness and apostasy. We're going to see it. I thought, and you saw it just in the last couple of years, the apostasy was coming upon us. The irregulations and all the things coming from the federal government upon our churches. And of course, back when President Johnson was president, and they put on the churches that you could not speak anything against any public official about who you should vote for. And I heard the president-elect say that law is going to be gone. So the churches ought to be the place that preaches the Word of God and ought to be the place to stand up. Of course liberals don't want you to do that. They're doing stuff that we stand against, amen. And so I'm looking forward to that. I am. You go down to Texas and all those preachers, they get pulled them right up and said, you're going to show us every sermon you preach, every note that you have, you're going to bring it to the court. And you know what happened down there? They said, no, we're not. And a couple of leather-neck preachers, leather-lung preachers stood up and said, no, we're not. And then all of a sudden people heard about it. And then all of a sudden they came and they said, well, maybe we shouldn't do that. That's a good idea, amen. It's like the IRS, who is all of a sudden starting to harass local churches and harassing Christians. And they were going in and looking at their, you know, and bringing them in and trying to find anything they could if they made a mistake on their taxes. And they found out sound proof. And you know, the FBI, the guy of the IRS should have been fired for it. But they didn't. You know why? Well, okay. Bible says, hold fast till I come. These days, darkness, apostasy, let us hold the truth, and let us look up, for Jesus cometh. And then, verse 26. Look at these promises. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as a vessel of a potter shall be broken to shivers. Even I received of my Father, even as I received my Father, I will give him the morning star. God says that we will rule the nations during the millennium. This refers to our millennium, the thousand-year reign of peace upon this earth, when we shall rule the earth with Jesus Christ. Hey, you got Jesus in your heart tonight? You're gonna be a ruler. You're gonna be a judge. You're gonna be a whatever, probably a cop. See Jason running around being a cop, man. And we're gonna do that. But the wonderful thing about it is, you know what, Bob? We're going to have the mind of Christ. And we'll be able to, instead of trying to figure out what's going on, we'll know what's going on. We'll have the mind of Christ. We'll know. And if anybody who is age 100 and above, if they openly defy the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will rule with a wrought iron. That means their head's going off. God's not going to put up with it. There's going to be peace on this world like never before. This world is going to turn into the Garden of Eden again. And it's going to be peace. I don't know about you, but I sure like that, amen. Just think, you people have been grapping, living in Montana. Some way, somehow, God's going to make this thing bloom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's going to be beautiful. Woo-hoo! I remember Jack Iles, he told me, we were sitting out in the car before he came in to preach. He said, Brother Shear, he says, I'm going to tell you something right now. I've told the Lord I want Montana, and you can come to Hammond during the millennium. I said, stay where you're at, brother. I said, bloom where you're planted, pal. All right. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 6 lets us know and makes a load lighter now when we realize that one day we're going to be kings and priests. One day, we're going to be kings. Isn't that amazing? Amazing what we are going to get to do. Now, of course, you need to know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you're going to go through the tribulation period, and then you're going to be judged, be cast into Satan, into hell, and you're going to die. That's not a good place. Amen. Notice that the morning star is coming. It is the spiritually dark and night now. It is hard to stand up for Jesus and live the kind of life that God wants us to live. But glory to God, the morning is coming and Jesus will be on His throne. Notice number 12. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Hear these things, he says, what the Spirit saith to the churches. It means a spiritual ear. In other words, you who are spiritual understand these things that I'm trying to tell you. These are things that are going to come. He says, apply these teaching to your own church. I hope to God that we're very careful about what we do at our church. You know, we'll stand before God what we do here. I certainly want to see God's blessing upon this place. I certainly want people to get and be winning souls, invite people to come. I want our Sunday school teachers to be very adamant about that when children come to their class. Make sure they know Jesus as their Savior. I want you to take every chance, every opportunity you have to serve God in a great way. I know there's a lot of difficulties in our lives. All of us have difficulties. All of us run into trouble every once in a while. All of us don't have enough to go around sometimes. All of us just don't know which way to turn. But let me encourage you. There's a God that loves you. And He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. The time when you seem most alone, He is closest to you. The times when you're about ready to give up. The times when you just say, Jesus, I just can't do anymore. The times when you don't know what to pray. Let me tell you what your preacher does when he doesn't know what to pray. I said, God, you promised that Jesus would pray for me, the Holy Spirit pray for me. Lord, I don't know how to pray about this. You take care of this for me. I wish I could tell you how that God has done some things. Amazing how His hand is so close there. I don't understand some things, but yesterday I was reminded why some things had happened in my life when I talked to a man that lost his 55-year-old wife. I was able to empathize with him. I was able to encourage him that, you know what, thank God for heaven. I was able to tell him, now listen to me, sometimes when people go to heaven, it's a real blessing. It's a real blessing. And I hope you carry that with you. It's good to serve God. Let's pray. Father.